name is Alyssa Robinson, and you're listening to the Treach Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. Reverend Doug Meyer is our associate pastor of Caring Ministries, and he's known for his authenticity and straight talk. Pastor Doug will now lead us in scripture and prayer.
Our scripture this morning comes from Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. Just like a deer that craves streams of water, my whole being craves you, God. My whole being thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I come and see God's face? Join me, friends, now in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you. We need you more than anyone or anything else in this life. Take my hunger and my thirst for food and drink and stuff, and use them to remind me that only you can satisfy my hungry heart and thirsty soul. For you, my God, are the bread of life and the source of living water. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So, Doug, I'd like to hear from you, because you always have an interesting take on any topic that we're putting out there. And, of course, we're focusing on fasting right now. What was your experience of fasting growing up versus your experience of fasting as an adult?
Nil. Well, so, no, I have a little more as an adult, but as a kid, I mean, I don't know when it was first introduced. Like, I think maybe college. I mean, I grew up in just a little, you know, Bubba-filled, nice United Methodist church, but I don't think we ever talked about it. And if we did, it was only to show off how strong you were for doing without. And then maybe in college, but still it never translated. And even to today, it doesn't translate very well for me in my gut from, it's more than just a time of doing without, you know, wine, TV, chocolate, whatever that is. I never made the connection, or I don't make it very easily, that it's not just about doing without. It's about replacing the doing without with a harvesting or investing in a closer relationship with God.
So one of the things that I find interesting is I've talked to almost all of the pastors at this point, and almost every pastor has the same story of, you know, I'm just now starting to figure out what this fasting thing is all about. And I'm just wondering, are y'all taught about fasting at all in seminary or encouraged to practice it?
Yes, and maybe now. Back in the old days when I was in school, you were taught it more as a historical Christian discipline, and there wasn't a lot of effort made to connecting it to what I'll just use the word contemporary faith walk. You know, that just was, here's what those who have traveled before you have done. And there's a lot in church history, of course, about fasting, right? And I think somehow because it's taught more historically, it doesn't make that connection. It's like something that was then, but not now.
Well, so how have you in more recent years tried to embrace and get a better understanding of what it is to fast?
Yeah, I haven't really.
I appreciate your honesty, as always.
I mean, I get the idea of it. And where I have a disconnect is doing without and doing with. You know, that's how my mind works. Like, I'm doing without whatever that is so I can do more with God, Jesus, my faith, whatever you want to call it. So I kind of think, like, I'm, you know me, I'm a big consumer. I like stuff. I like food. I like wine. I like all the things that make me feel good. So it's a hard sell for me to go, oh, now, wait a minute. You want me to do without that so I can grow closer to God? When my humanity says, well, I'm doing without it, I'm kind of pissy. I kind of resent that. So, you know, I'm sure God's like, you know what, Meyer, if you're going to be a grump the whole time you're doing this, just don't do it. So it is a struggle that I need to narrow down to more consumable bites, like, you know, like when I say I'm going to do something, I get silly. I'm like, okay, I'm going to lose 40 pounds by summer. Well, that's just stupid. I'm not. And I make the same kind of declaration, like I'm not going to have a glass of wine for the entire period of Lent. And I might do that for a week or two, but that's just not realistic. So maybe what I need to do is kind of like my own fasting 12-step program. Like, okay, today I'm going to pick one thing and I'm going to do without so I can do more with, you know, something like that.
Why do you think we put so much pressure on ourselves to get it perfect? Like when we think of, because I struggle with that too. I'm like, well, if I'm going to fast, I'm going to go all out and I'm really going to do it. And then I fail within the first week and I feel awful and it does nothing to bring me closer to God. Why do we do this to ourselves?
Oh, because we're just crazy people. Like, I think it's ego and then a little bit of shame. Like, we're super competitive, even maybe with our faith. Like, hey, look how good a Christian I am, and look what I did. And so we don't really do it for sincere purposes between us and God. We do it more to kind of flaunt it. You know, like if we had like a fasting show-off board, people would be all over that. So they could get attaboy out of girls and acclaim, you know. I mean, many of us want to do better than we're doing today. And we've interpreted that this is one of the tools by which we can do that. And so maybe, again, I just keep going back to recovery. You know, maybe we should kind of extend some grace to each other and not shame each other into, you know, what a fasting failure you are or I am. And just say, yeah, that's a pretty good effort. Way to go. And, you know, let's try it again tomorrow.
Well, and despite all of this baggage we carry around fasting and what it means to us, and are we just showing off and all of these things, you have said you plan on fasting this year. You want to try it again. You want to give it another go. What is your plan for this year?
Year? Did I say for a year?
No, for this season of Lent. It's okay. Don't panic.
I need to take a deep breath. I have this bad habit of when I come home, I just instinctively turn on the TV for background chatter. And as much as that sounds like really lightweight fast, I'm going to try to do without as much TV. Some of y'all know I went on kind of a little retreat a week or two ago to a cabin up in Minnesota. And unbeknownst to me, my friend doesn't have a TV. So it was a fast that was picked for me. But it really, it was doable. I survived it. Here I am. So I think I'm going to, I need to get my head around that. But I also live with a woman who loves TV. So we're going to have to figure out, you know. Like, I think that makes fasting hard sometimes, is when you're doing it in the context of partnership or community or spouses or whatever.
Well, and how are you hoping that this fast will bring you closer to God in the 40 days of Lent?
Well, what I'm hoping that it sparks within me is a greater level of intentionality to fill that time with things that connect me to God. Whether it is, and some of those things, like I just like to walk. Being out in nature does that. I like to paint. I like to write. I like to lay on the floor and take a nap. You know, anything that I feel like has some kind of expression of connection, that will be a good thing. That'll be a win, as they say nowadays.
And back to, you know, doing a fast in partnership and what that means, how do I fast in a way that my relationship doesn't suffer? Do you have any advice for that?
Not a bit.
Just trying to figure it out yourself?
I think that's a very valid thing, because a lot of people choose fast things, right? That oftentimes, if you're living with somebody and you're doing life, you know, in that kind of context, like whatever I do affects Wendy, whatever Wendy does affects me, unless we do it, you know, somewhere between 9 to 5. And I don't know that most of us do that. maybe there's a way. Here's a radical idea for you. Maybe you do it with your partner. Maybe you say, you know what? Instead of not watching TV ever again, how about if we don't turn the TV on Thursdays? And we spend the time, maybe we go for a walk, maybe we cook dinner together. I mean, that does kind of sound like couples therapy in a way, but, you know, maybe couples therapy is a lot like God therapy. I don't know. Psalm 42, 1 and 2. Just like a deer that craves streams of water, my whole being craves you, God. My whole being thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I come and see God's face? Man, that's a great text. Let's pray, friends. Lord Jesus, we love you and we need you more than anyone or anything else in our life. Take our hunger and our thirst for food and drink and use them to remind us that only you can satisfy our hungry hearts and thirsty souls. For you, you are the bread of life and the source of living water. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.